Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Hope you are enjoying the new year so far. The deep state now has full control of the federal government, and the mindless basement dweller sits in the White House signing away one executive order after the next, reversing everything President Trump did to improve the economy of our country and the American worker. Rest assured that this radical Democratic Party is watching out for their self-interest as they have lied and cheated their way into office. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, describes this leftist political crowd succinctly as he states to Timothy, chapter 4 of his first letter, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." John the Revelator, in chapter 8 of his gospel, tells us what Jesus said to the lying Jews who attempted to kill him. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Satan is the father of lies. These lying Democrats who justify murdering innocent children in the womb are of their father, the devil. The Revelator tells us in his book, The Revelation, the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. No disputing that. So all you ungodly believers who applaud this wickedness, your day of trial is coming, and fiery judgment shall be upon you unless you repent now before it is eternally too late. The Apostle Paul, who was filled with the Holy Ghost and cautiously led by the Spirit, gives us more insight into who this wicked crowd is. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. All I can say to you who love wickedness and the systemic destruction of our constitutional Christian republic is repent, repent, and repent. Turn from your wicked ways and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Kiss the Son of God, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him and in his word, the Holy Bible. The following message this morning is entitled, Jesus Walked on Water. Should Peter have? Jesus walking on water is mentioned in three of the Gospels, but Peter's noticeably short walk on the water is mentioned in only one Gospel. Why is that? And let me point out to you who have heard from the pulpit that the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not the Gospel for the churches today, but only Paul's epistles are the Gospel for the Gentile churches. You have been gravely deceived. Don't believe it for one minute. So what is the embedded message of Peter getting out of the boat in the story found in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 34? There may be a lot of Sunday morning sermons praising Peter for having the faith to get out of the boat, but Jesus did not praise Peter. He said, O thou of little faith! Why didn't the other Gospel authors point this out about Peter getting out of the boat? The message you are about to hear will be very new to your ears. I was a young preacher boy at a preacher's conference in Ohio when I first heard a preacher preach this message in this context. Never have I heard it preached this way again. Please turn up your volume because our recording equipment had a glitch and the audio is not of the best quality. Listen, learn, and be intrigued with the Lord's lesson in this event of 2,000 years ago. And again, let's get inoculated this new year, 2021, with the power of the Holy Ghost, and let us be led according to his instruction, not the world's. Don't be a guinea pig for Bill Gates, Tony Fauci, and Big Pharma. And let's throw in the CDC and the World Health Organization for good measure. On behalf of my father-in-law, go Chiefs. Jesus walked on water, should Peter have? Part 2.
And even the wind and the sea obey him. Why do they obey him? Because he created them. Just like the stars and the moon and the sun obeyed God, he created them. When he said, stop in the heavens, what did they do? They stopped. That's a powerful God. Now, you think you have Peter, Joshua, Andrew, John, they were fishermen. Why would they be scared of the water? You're looking at an experienced sailor. I've been out on the water multitudes of times. When we hit a gale out in the Atlantic between Bermuda and Massachusetts, let me tell you, you're looking at a man who got scared.
Yep, it's overwhelming, bro.
Because that's a lot different than hitting a storm on a smaller body of water or upon land. I tell Kim over and over again, there's a big difference with a big storm approaching you when you're on land versus you're on water. You have nowhere to go. You have nowhere to go. And you don't want to go below because you want to watch what's going on up above. And so I'm telling you, I was the youngest man on this crew, and it hit at night. Again, everybody except for the captain and the navigator had to come on deck, all hands on deck, and help during this gale that lasted all night long. Lightning, the wind was, you had the size of a sail, the sail was the size of a diaper on that mast, and the boat still over like this. Water, the rooster tails coming off of the winches on the leeward side of the boat. The rain horizontal, the wind blowing the crest of the waves into your eyes. Lightning striking all around you, and you're waiting for you to get hit next. It was a scary experience. And to top that all off, on the radio, you hear other boats in the race yet crying out, "Made it," calling for the Coast Guard and crying out, "Made it." Several people in that race abandoned the race. Guess who, not on my boat, but who was in that race? Somebody you see on news all the time, Fox News all the time. Geraldo Rivera. He was with, I think it was 60 Minutes, Hugh Downs, either 2020 or 60 Minutes, back in the 80s. He was in that race. They got disqualified. right at the beginning. So, again, this story is found in all three, what they call the Synoptic Gospel. What are the Synoptic Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are very similar to one another, and John is slightly different, much more different than the comparison between Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so they call those the Synoptic Gospels. This story appears three times. And so, they've already seen the power of Christ with a storm and how he can still the waves and bring peace to a raging sea. The Sea of Galilee and its significance. The Sea of Galilee was a rich source of food for all of Israel and a bustling region of maritime enterprise in the Galilee region, with many coastal towns like Capernaum, Tiberias. We see these towns in the Bible, Tiberias, Gennesaret, Bethsaida, which means house of fish. It is fed by the waters of the Jordan River from the slopes of Mount Hermon, which is located between Syria and Lebanon. There's a huge mountain, and the waters come down from this mountain and feed the fresh water into the Jordan River, and the Jordan River feeds into the Sea of Galilee on the uphill section of it, on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. And then at the bottom part of the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River begins again and feeds water all the way down to the Dead Sea. Okay, right past Jericho, down to the Dead Sea. Just north of the Dead Sea, right around Jericho, is where John the Baptist baptized. And he baptized there. But it was fresh water. It was cold water. It was refreshing water. It was rich with fish and livelihood. And so men made it their business to fish it and to harvest things out of the water for the coastal people and even for Jerusalem. The Sea of Galilee has two other New Testament names. The Sea of Tiberias, you see in John chapter 6. The Lake of Gennesaret, you see in Luke chapter 5. So not only is it called the Sea of Galilee in the Bible, but you see the Sea of Tiberias. Why is it the Sea of Tiberias? What's Tiberias? Named after Caesar. Because Israel at this time was controlled by Rome. And so some of the cities' names were changed, or new cities were brought up. And there was this, the city of Tiberias, so it was named after the sea of, is called the Sea of Tiberias because of the city that was on its western shores. And the Lake of Gennesaret. But also it is called the Sea of Kinneret in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew. And so you see that in the book of Numbers. Today is called Yam Kinneret, or Kinneret. Yam means sea. So the Hebrew name for it today is called Yam Kinneret. The sea is small by many standards. It's about the size of Washington, D.C. Actually, Washington, D.C. is slightly larger than the Sea of Galilee. It is 350 times smaller than Lake Michigan. It is the lowest freshwater lake on Earth, 7,000 feet below sea level. The lowest point on Earth is not the bottom of the ocean. The Dead Sea. The Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on the face of the Earth, just like Death Valley, just like Lake Utah. And Lake Utah and the Dead Sea are very similar. What makes this lake out there in Utah has no life. It's over salty. And the problem is, there's no, all you do is have runoff going out into a desert. Basically, that's all it is. It's water running off and going into a desert. And the only way those lakes not overflow is because of evaporation. And so the levels of those two lakes change drastically because it depends on the amount of evaporation of the water, because there's nothing on the other end of those lakes to drain off the water out to the ocean. And so there's no life in either of those out there in Utah or the Dead Sea. It is the lowest freshwater lake on Earth. At its widest point, it is only 13 miles north to south, 7.5 miles east to west. It's only 140 to 200 feet deep at its deep at its greatest point, and it's 32 miles in circumference. It would take you a whole day to drive around Lake Michigan, maybe two. It is known for its violent storms, which can come up suddenly. These tempests are caused by the situation of the lake in the Jordan Rift. It means it's basically a lake that sits in a bowl, and it has mountains all around it, with steep hills on all sides. The cooler air masses from the surrounding mountains collide with the warm air in the lake's basin. The most violent storms are caused by the fierce winds which blow off the Golan Heights from the east. One such storm in March of 1992 sent waves 10 feet high into the city of Tiberias, creating great devastation. 10 feet high. That's massive. And those boats, they weren't super tankers that the apostles and disciples were sailing across. They were little skiffs, little sailing boats, little fishing boats. Yeah, they were wood. They may have had a mast, or you rowed with them. They were for rowing, but they were not designed to go across the Atlantic. They were day sailors because they were not going to be out there for long periods of time. A great portion of Jesus' ministry centered around this Galilee and the sea. The region, the Sea of Galilee, because that whole northern region was around that lake was called Galilee. And Nazareth was in Galilee, the region. So that's where Jesus in his childhood was. Then you had south of Galilee, you had Smyrna. And south of Smyrna, then you had Jerusalem and Judah, Bethlehem and Judah. So you had between Galilee and Jerusalem, you had Smyrna. The disciples departed in the evening just before the sunset. Hence, the navigation and unpleasant challenges are made more difficult during the night. Heightens fears within even experienced mariners, especially in an open skiff with only sails or an oar. And we know they were rowing. They were rowing against the wind. And rowing in waves is very treacherous. In Scripture, the sea at times is symbolic of the mass of humanity, the world. Hence the expression, sea of humanity. The Scripture says, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So, do you see that in Scripture, sometimes the sea is symbolic of humanity? When God looks down, he sees the sea of humanity on this earth. Now, there's nothing wrong with that picture. Oh, the elite think there's something wrong with that earth because the sea of humanity is affecting their mother earth, affecting their mother, their God, their earth. And that we need to depopulate the earth. Again, this crowd that's coming in, this Antichrist crowd, they want to kill you and me. They want to depopulate the earth. They want a lot less people on this earth. So let's create a virus to kill the people. Let's create a vaccine to kill the people. What's the big night and day difference between Satan and the Lord? God loves his creation. He looked on his creation at the day of creation and said, it was good, very good. He created man. He told man to go and propagate the earth, to multiply and fill the earth and take dominion of the earth. What's Satan? He's the opposite.
Steal, kill, destroy.
He wants to murder. Kill, destroy man. He wants you to die a miserable death. He wants to eliminate, annihilate you. And wants this earth for himself. And so does his minions. So, we have to end it there. We'll continue looking at more depth of the whole story. And you have to understand, how come you would say, a preacher would say that Peter had faith to get out of that boat and go to Jesus, when just moments ago, just moments earlier, when Jesus did come walking on the water, he's with the rest of the disciples crying and bellyaching in fear and trembling because of the storm. Do you understand? There's a story here, purpose in this story, and we will finish. So next week will be the rest of the story. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, help us with faith. We need more faith than ever before. We need faith to walk in each and every day. We need faith to get into your word. Faith to just take one breath and one step each and every day. Lord, we need your help. We need your guidance, your wisdom, your direction. Pray, Lord, you have direction for each of us individually and for us collectively as a church, Lord. And you would go before us and prepare the way. And Lord, I pray that for this church, open an avenue, a door for us to step into that would be just perfect for our congregation. You know what's out there. Lord, you know what's perfect. I pray earnestly for your hand in that. Be with our children, all the children that every family here represents.
Lord, pray for them, those in college, those in high school, those in elementary school. Lord, we just pray that you would help them in their education, help them to learn, Lord, not to be infected with false narratives, false truths, in spite of all the interruptions in their educational process. Lord, we lift you up, and Lord, I pray that you would add on to our numbers, build our forces here, and Lord, help us to outgrow this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.